Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Haw. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Second inning, here's Michael Busch. He has been the talk of the town lately, homering in four consecutive games. Remember, he's a rookie ball player, five homers overall. But in his last 10 games, Ron, listen to these numbers. A .389 average. With five homers and 11 RBIs.
Yeah, that's got player of the week and maybe player of the month if he keeps going, written all over it.
Here's a fly ball, deep right center. This ball's back toward the wall. He's done it again. Michael Busch has tied a Cubs record by homering in his fifth consecutive game. Way out near the 413 sign in deep right center. It took one bounce and I believe landed in that swimming pool that they have out beyond the barrier in right center. What a story this is turning out to be.
We have splashdown here in Arizona.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And you got to admit that you think about what's happened thus far. And I don't know what gets you rookie of the week, the month, the year. But if five homers in five games isn't putting you on track, then you're not paying attention.
That's National League player of the week.
That's right.
He's been as good as anybody. And that fifth home run on the fifth consecutive game came against a very good pitcher, Merrill Kelly, in command. And Michael Busch is 0-2 cutter and goes 419 feet deep into the pool. As we heard, love Ron and Pat. They had a great weekend. And, you know, Zach sat in for Pat on Sunday and had a great game. I was in the car listening to a lot of that, and he just was outstanding. But the Cubs, things are going right. And they needed that one, Mully. I think they really needed that first game of the Diamondbacks series. Kyle Hendricks goes tonight, a lot riding on his fourth start of the year. But I think that in light of the Seiya Suzuki news, you really needed a boost. Seiya Suzuki out for 10 days with an oblique strain. You don't know how serious that will be. Those are easy to say. Well, you know, it's not as significant as last year, but he injured himself running to first. It's almost like he was wearing a White Sox uniform. He injured himself running the bases.
So the projected rookie of the year for the Cubs this year, you know who it was?
You
know who it was.
Who was?
Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah, Pete Crow Armstrong.
Mm-hmm. So he's not yet been able to make it to the major leagues, although, you know, he's close enough, right? You just don't need him. You signed a guy.
Yeah, you don't need Pete Armstrong right now. No, he's not somebody who – are you saying in place of Suzuki?
I'm saying the projection for this year was right. going to be Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah.
Well, they brought up Candelario,
well,
right?
the rhetoric in spring training went into February, as they reported, we talked a lot about, well, one or the other, with Cody Bellinger absent, when he comes back, you're going to send down the guy who you trust the least in between PCA and Michael Bush because of Cody Bellinger's ability to play both positions. Doesn't seem like much of an argument right now. Pete Crow Armstrong can develop at Iowa at his own pace. He can learn how to refine his swing to the point where he's comes to the majors ready to hit, and he can be as impactful as Michael Bush is. They made the right decision. This is a credit to the Cubs scouting department that they were able to identify Michael Bush and be willing to trade two prospects for a guy that helped him immediately.
Yeah, I mean, he is a guy that, you know, blocked in L.A., just tore it up in the minor leagues. I think he had Pacific Coast League MVP last year. His numbers were incredible. A 2019 first rounder, late first rounder, and he homered twice in the majors last year. But he didn't have enough at-bats, and he's eligible. And, Dustin, you said that you were going to tell us why he shouldn't be eligible for the Rookie of the Year award. Why don't you consider him a rookie?
I just feel that once you've played, again, now if you came up one time in September, that would be different. But he had 70 something odd at bats. David said 30 plus games. Baseball Reference has whatever Major League Baseball has put out as their official guidelines to all of this.
27 games.
Okay, you know, it's like great. I mean, he's just not a rookie. Like a rookie, Ben Brown's a rookie. Okay, Ben Brown has never pitched in a major league game until this year.
Right.
To me, that's in my, again, this is my definition.
It's your definition.
Shota Imanaga is not a rookie. Shota Imanaga has already had a career in Japan. He is not a rookie, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I want all good things for the Cubs, obviously, but that's me.
Right now, the Cubs have two of the best rookies in baseball, in Imanaga and Michael Bush. And where would they be without them? They're 10-6. In large part because Imanaga has gotten off to a good start that's made them absorb the loss of Justice Steele a little bit more easily. And Michael Bush has really, let's face it, compensated for what has been a slow start by Cody Bellinger. Bellinger has really, first couple days he was in the lineup, you're like, oh, God, we missed Cody. And then since then it has been like, oh, boy, he needs to get going.
He will.
He will.
I mean, he's kind of going through his spring training to a certain extent.
No doubt. Anyway. I don't want to disparage Cody Bellinger, but I think Michael Bush's offensive firepower has helped them handle that. And they can afford to wait for him to get hot because he eventually will get hot.
312-644-6767. Let's try Mark. He's in South Bend. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing, Molly?
Good.
How you doing, David?
Good.
I was just talking to Dustin about the rookie status of Michael Bush. Now, I collect baseball cards. I got some Topps Heritage from last year. I'm going to go through them and see if Michael Bush appears with a Dodger hat on any of those. If there is one, I'll send it to you, and that'll be Dustin's rookie card. I'll see if he's been considered a rookie baseball card status from last year.
Thanks, Mark. That'll be a nice gesture. And he can put it on a frame, and he can put it encase it in plastic.
The Dodgers.
Yeah. Michael Bush's rookie card. Technically, it should come with the Chicago Cubs. 130 at bats. He did not have 130 at bats. 45 total days on a major league roster. Didn't have that either.
Listen, David, go to FanDuel and invest in those guys in Rookie of the Year. You know, place little futures on those two guys.
Okay. Doesn't bother me. It doesn't really bother me what we call them, as long as they continue to produce.
And I would agree with that. Let's just keep them producing.
Michael Bush is 26 years old, so it gives him the kind of maturity he's ready for this. He's waited for this. And he's also the kind of guy that if he does tail off, and he will, the league is going to adjust to Michael Bush. I think Michael Bush probably has a better chance of readjusting to his adjustments because of his age and maturity and experience.
I'm just curious, Dustin, how did you rate Michael Bush in terms of the offseason procurement? How good is he given all the moves they made in the offseason? Was he as big a move as they made in the offseason?
Well, now, yes. But I mean, what did I think going in? I thought, boy, Cody Bellinger is your backup plan in case he's not as good as advertised. And then you would have Pete Crow Armstrong up here play in center field if that had been the case. And he did start off a little bit slow. Like, he heated up when they moved out west. He hadn't done well as the start of the season, as they started in some not so great weather to get things going.
Yeah, but when the Cubs made the trade for Michael Bush at the day before the Cub convention and they introduced him there, nobody, I think, thought this was going to be one of the biggest
ho-hum move. Yeah, like,
it wasn't. Yeah. Well, they better know what they're
Shrug
doing.
Shrug the shoulders.
They better get Bellinger back.
Jed knows best, yeah. Kind of thing.
Yeah. What's going to happen to Matt Mervis? All these things.
I mean, that's David, it's interesting you bring that up. Like, to me, that's what it screamed.
They're moving on from Mervis.
That was the headline. Like, we don't believe in Mervis. That's what
right.
That moves.
But even with his great production in the minor leagues, didn't you think at some point, well, Mervis is kind of that minor league guy? Like, didn't you?
Well, you worry about it, right? When a guy is 26 years old and he's the minor league player of the year,
yes.
Okay, well, it works down there,
right.
But does it work up where it counts?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
So
that
far,
everyone,
so good, right?
I don't know that everyone thought, well, this guy's clearly blocked. You thought, well, this is a 4A player. I mean, a lot of people. I'm not saying everyone. And I think, obviously, you know, I'm not counting Cody Bellinger back as I mean, Cody Bellinger was here. Re-signing him was extra important, and they had to do it. But
he wasn't in addition. Yeah.
No, I don't think of it.
He was part of the team they brought back. The two biggest additions are the two guys who, frankly, are as big of a part of why they're 10-6 as anybody, and that is Shota, who was an addition.
Yeah.
And Michael Bush, who was their curiosity, but look at him now. I don't think anybody can do anything except for compliment the Cubs for making some shrewd, sneaky good moves in the offseason, because Shota was the consolation prize to Yamamoto.
Correct.
Michael Bush was considered at the time protection against losing Bellinger. All these guys were kind of like, well, we're going to qualify. We're going to protect ourselves. This is our insurance. Maybe not as splashy, until he homered into the pool, maybe not as splashy as what we could do, but we're going to protect ourselves in case we can't get that done.
Yeah, and I'm not willing to sit here and say that thank God they didn't get Ohtani or Yamamoto, because I think, you know, you're kind of hoping they would. But it hasn't, how do you put it? It hasn't stopped them. They've been pretty good given what they've been dealing with to start the season. They've been pretty good,
right? They've been pretty good. This is 10-6, and this is not the easiest record. But now that the Cubs won that game last night, a game that I don't think a lot of people saw them winning based on the pitching matchup last night.
Yeah.
So now, though, the Cubs, they need to win today. Because this is a winnable game later on tonight on the Score.
Yes.
This pitcher is not very good that the that they're going to trot out. But either is Kyle Hendricks.
Well,
that's why it's also
say.
Important because Kyle. Yep. This is a game where Kyle Hendricks needs to say, okay, like, breathe, bring back a little of the magic in the past. Need a quality start out of the guy. That's what you're hoping for.
Yeah, that's what he's hoping for.
I mean, now the Cubs got, when you take a game in a series that you weren't supposed to win, now you got to take the series. Don't settle for not, like, oh, we got one. Let's just get back home. You know, let's just get back home 10-9, two games over 500. Let's get back home two games over 500. That's what they need to be saying
to
themselves.
The game is bigger for Kyle Hendricks than it is for the Cubs.
Agreed.
He needs to come through in a way that removes some of these doubts that have begun to mount as he has been bad, really bad, in his first three starts. His ERA is over 12. And tomorrow you have Jordan Wicks going.
Maybe.
Jameson Taillon could be on
the
way.
Right. I can't wait. Like Tommy Hotovy tomorrow at 9. Like going over what Kyle Hendricks did, and then what are you going to do, Cubs, once Jameson Taillon is put back into this rotation?
Well, I think Jameson Taillon deserves and belongs in this rotation.
Oh, for sure. But, I mean, are you taking Wicks out? Are you taking Hendricks out? Are you taking Assad out? Is Assad going back to the bullpen? I mean, what do you do?
TBD. I think tonight will determine what they do with their rotation. And Kyle Hendricks skipping a start has got to be in play.
I think that, and this is a bad comparison, just because Kyle Hendricks is a guy with a long track record who has been here a long time. But kind of like Matt Mervis last year when he was struggling, there was this element of, well, how long do you let that go? How long do you let it go? There's plenty of time. Oh, there's no rush. But eventually, that's it. And that's kind of what Kyle Hendricks is staring at. Again, not a good comparison because of the difference in the success that he's had. But he's also on the back end, and he's also a guy that needs to show who he really is and that he's better than he's been. And how long does he have? Is this his last start? I doubt it. Does he get a couple more? Okay. Five more? I don't know. I mean, there is just the reality that at some point, regardless of who you are, you're going to have to start playing better or you're going to be in trouble.
Well, if Taillon comes back, Kyle Hendricks struggles tonight, he's your sixth starter.
Okay.
And I don't know how you get around that, because you have Assad, who's done nothing to deserve demotion to the bullpen. You've got Ben Brown, who you could obviously put in the bullpen.
I don't think you should.
I don't think that would be his best interest. And then you got Wicks, and I think you look at his season. Yeah, it may be uneven, but I don't think you want to give up on him either. And then Shota has been the best starting pitcher for the Cubs. And has he given up a run yet? I don't know that Shota's given up a run.
No.
He wasn't himself.
He wasn't striking people out the last time like he had been, but he still got 5 strikeouts, right?
Yeah.
And, he's fine.
So, Assad, Taillon coming back, Ben Brown, Wicks, and Shota. There's 5 right there. And so what do you do when Justin Steele comes back?
Well, that's when you're overloaded.
So you're overloaded. Yeah. It's a nice problem to have. And plus, we haven't mentioned that Teran has been signed as a – Julio Teran is a veteran –
Yep.
Journeyman.
Cut by the Mets.
And so he's got starting potential if you want that.
And
I don't know what he has left.
He's been with the manager before, so there's a previous relationship there from last year with Milwaukee. It'll be curious.
He might be a bullpen guy. He might be a guy that gives you some length and some bulk and some depth in the bullpen, like Drew Smyly does, only from the right side. That might be his role eventually. You want to get older in the bullpen. You want to get more depth because you lose Merriweather, which is a huge loss in itself. So, yeah, the Cubs have had some injuries. You look at Suzuki, Steele, Merriweather, and Taillon, and yet here they are not falling apart against a very tough part of the schedule. Not yet.
Suzuki just happened.
Yeah, right.
Give them time.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying. They could have used him last night because they were struggling to score runs. And they won 3-2, and it was a great win, and I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying they came to the hair of their chinny chin chin.
I hope they give Alex Canario some at bats. They brought him up last year, remember, famously, or notably, and didn't play him.
It's a lefty tonight, so I think if he's not in tonight, then something's up. He should be the DH or the right fielder tonight.
Kyle Hendricks versus Tommy Henry, 8:05, right here on The Score, pregame with Zach.
Hank.
Tommy Hank?
Well, Henry is Hank, isn't it? Aren't guys named Hank actually Henry?
Yeah, I think
so.
That's probably
let's apply it.
Okay. Tom Hank.
Tom Hanks. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mully and Haw, live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
I don't think he's going to throw him a fastball. That's the ball game.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Friends and family plan the White Sox start, Nick Nastrini, his first ever MLB start. And he does fine. Gave up a couple runs in five innings, but unfortunately they could not score again.
Again.
White Sox shutout. Again.
Again, six times in 16 games. First time since 1907 has that happened in Major League Baseball to start the season.
Yeah, and they, again, the I believe the record for the most shutouts in a year is 33 by the 1908 St. Louis Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And the White Sox seem hell-bent on challenging that.
They will make history this year one way or another. Yes, this is a team that can't hit. One of the worst lineups that we have seen the White Sox put out there in recent memory. It just, it's awful. They've had to deal with the injuries to Luis Robert Jr.
But they were crap before.
Yoan Moncada and Eloy Jimenez. Yeah, I don't disagree. But they were not, this doesn't help. When you don't have those three guys in your lineup, a bad offense is going to look anemic.
Who do you feel sorry for? I mean, and
Sox fans.
Do you feel sorry for Chris Getz?
A little bit.
I mean, he got the job.
By
saying that he was closer to getting them together. And
well, that's what Jerry said. I've never faulted a 40-year-old young executive who's never been general manager before for pursuing a job that you want to do. Everybody wants to do. I don't know if I feel sorry for him as much as I think that it's going to be they're a long way away.
Feel sorry for Pedro Grifol?
No. I mean, they're two different emotions, Mully. I think that from an analyst standpoint, somebody who's paid to have an opinion about what the Sox are on the field, I don't feel sorry because we're holding these guys accountable for the job they do. And Pedro has said some things that I don't know where he's coming from. I think it's easy to criticize, okay?
He's out of his mind.
From a human standpoint, I don't envy anybody who has to endure the fact that they are only 16 games into the season.
They have
150, nearly 150 games left.
They have talked about the pressure that they're under. It's kind of this tough thing where, you know, you're pressing every night because you're under so much pressure. Imagine if you played with a team that was good. That's pressure, where you're supposed to win and you win. I don't think anybody feels sorry for any of the players. What about Jerry? Do you feel bad for Jerry?
No, because I blame him more than anybody else
over
there for creating this situation that has become untenable, bad enough to where people could on a regular basis clamor for him to sell the team and be exactly right and justified every single day.
Let's hear from A.J. Pierzynski. He did a podcast yesterday where he talked about why he's not connected to the White Sox. He's not employed by the White Sox. Let's take a listen.
Say he didn't pick the players, but no minor league coordinator picks the players and every other team has developed guys. That excuse might fly for White Sox fans, but they haven't developed anybody. I mean, Colson Montgomery is supposed to be coming, right? He finally hit a AAA home run the other night, and it was like this Red Sea parted again because he has struggled in AAA so far. Noah Schultz is supposed to be coming, right? I mean, I haven't heard much about him. They got, Nastrani pitching tonight, right? He's supposed to be their other big prospect guy. I like Andrew Vaughn. He hasn't happened to a point where you're like, oh, wow, he's a third overall pick. He's been okay, but this year has been a struggle, which I get it's early. Just like you look at the names and you're like, I no longer work for the White Sox because of this exact conversation we're having. But the facts are the facts. My whole point has been, listen, I like Chris Getz. I played with Chris Getz, you know, whatever. But every other team finds a 20th round pick that's like, oh, man, we developed this guy. And you can blame coaches. You can blame draft. Once you get past about the 10th round, everyone's like, oh, we'll take him. He'll sign. We'll take. It's not like you're like, oh, man, in the 13th round, we're going to steal a first rounder. Maybe it's just me, but I don't know. I'm kind of fed up with the Rick and Kenny excuse. I'm kind of fed up with the, oh, we didn't draft right, excuse, because they've switched scouting directors in the middle of that. Let's not forget, it's not the same guy doing all the drafting. The results are only worse. They should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay. But they're like, no, we're going to try and compete instead. They're like, no, we're going to be good. You're awful.
That's A.J. Pierzynski from the Foul Territory podcast. And that's a guy that cares about the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what you get from people who care about the White Sox.
I understand that. I think that the one thing he said at the end that resonated maybe the most with me, not a Sox fan, but I don't, you know, I'm objective about the Sox, is that if they were clear about their intentions and prepared people for what they are and just embrace the fact that they're in the midst of a rebuild and, hey, we're gonna be back eventually, you know, come see us anyway. I don't know if that's a great marketing plan, but it certainly would be transparency. And I think the lack of transparency makes people think that they're disingenuous and it makes you doubt and question everything else they say. So I think that's a valid point.
Sox are in the process. They supposedly have reached an agreement with Tommy Pham. It hasn't been announced yet. He's 36 years old. Tommy Pham is a guy that had a really good World Series. I don't know that he had a really good postseason, but I'm being honest. He played for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Why you would bring him in is also a little bit of a mystery, unless you think that he can come in and hit a little bit, and maybe you can try to trade him to a contender for a playoff run.
You're not competitive.
Is that why?
The reason why is you're not competitive offensively. You need professional at-bats. You need guys who are going to give you professional at-bats.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only chuckled because when you hear Tommy Pham, people recall first that fantasy football episode.
That is the greatest ever.
Which White Sox player and teammate is he most likely to slap?
So Jock Peterson, to remind you of it, Jock Peterson and Tommy Pham were in a fantasy football league. Josh Peterson did something, whatever. Months later, Tommy Pham approaches him. I think Jock at the time was playing for the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
And he went up to him and he slapped him.
He did.
And it was all about this fantasy football thing. And then Jock Peterson in the post game gave like a blow by blow, gave a whole thing of what was said and why he was mad. And I got to tell you, it was fall down funny.
It was so funny.
It was just such a blow by blow. And then Tommy Pham talked to, who is from Vegas, mm-hmm. by the way, talked about how he's kind of a big deal in Vegas and that he's a big time gambler and he's a real respected player.
That's
at
why
all the
I chuckled.
Casinos.
Yeah, that's why I giggled.
It's hard not to giggle.
So back to what AJ was talking about. He asked about Noah Schultz. Let's look at Noah Schultz.
Well, Noah Schultz is how old is he?
20. That's what he's talking about.
He's years away.
Two games this year. He said he's not heard about what he's doing. 17 strikeouts in 8 innings. I know that maybe he's not
where is
right
he,
around
though?
The corner.
Class A?
Class
is he
A,
with the Dash?
Winston-Salem.
So my point is that
he's 20.
He's a guy you've heard of, and he's a guy that's rated among the top 100 prospects, but he's not a guy that you're relying on for I don't know what.
I don't know what you would rely on a 20-year-old at Class A anyway.
Did you see they brought Oscar Colas up? We joked about that last week.
But then they sent him down.
They brought him up. They brought him up. They said, hey, this is the major leagues again. Get out of here.
Clean out your locker.
What has he done?
I don't know.
What is it
who did
they
he
don't
piss off?
Like about
who,
him?
Who did he alienate?
Well, I mean, it's got to be Chris Getz somehow.
Why possibly.
Why would
Pedro,
you bring
I think
him
Pedro
up
doesn't go? Relate well with Oscar Colas.
Okay.
Colson Montgomery. AJ also alluded to him. He has 2 home runs and 6 runs batted in. Hmm. He's hitting .263. His OPS is .775 in 14 games at AAA. He's adjusting to AAA.
I wouldn't put anyone in AAA. That's one of the worst teams out there. The White Sox, first of all, it's a band box stadium. You got guys just launching homers. Pitchers get ruined there. And then you got a guy like Colson Montgomery. I'd leave him at AA.
Hmm.
At least they're competitive. What are they doing in AAA? They're getting killed.
They gave up 26 runs in a game. I think that's not good. The idea, though, is that typically you want to dominate every level, correct?
So that's
something. But if you look at Charlotte, they're dead last place in the International League East.
Right.
They're 5-10, and they're off to 5-10 in Chicago would be like reason to order a campfire milkshake. Celebrate.
Yeah. Well, see, even the campfire milkshake isn't. That doesn't resonate anymore. That's not even funny anymore.
You don't even like it?
I'm just saying that this
you're
has
tired
been.
Tired of the milkshake references?
I'm just tired of the White Sox. And I'll probably watch tonight because I'll be curious to see Jonathan Cannon's debut. I don't know why I bother. I don't know. You know, to see Nick Nastrini, and he pitched well. He looked mm-hmm. okay. But, you know, once he gave up a run, you go back to Pedro. If you give up a triple, we know we're going to lose.
Well,
one run.
Garrett Crochet struck out a career high 10 batters the other night, but it was a 5-0 game.
That's right.
So, you sat there. I was in here on Saturday morning with Bruce and talking about the White Sox and their only chance to win this game in this series against the Reds was Garrett Crochet. And then you watch the game and already they go down in the second inning 5-0. And you're like, okay, where's the hope coming from? That's where you start to feel bad for people at the game. In the organization, people you know who are going through this, and there's no hope in sight.
They are the Brooklyn Superbas.
I guess. That's the name of the team from 1907, the last team to get shut out 6 times in the first 16 games.
We've got Mike Florio next. Mercifully, we don't have to talk about the Sox again. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
Till we can't beat me!
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us now on the Score hotline. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
We're living the dream, and I'm very curious. You know, we had a long conversation this morning where we talked about kind of one of the changes in the NFL may be the amount of money that wide receivers are starting to get. We're seeing the big contracts. We're seeing guys kind of making it known they want to get paid or they want out. And we're just wondering how that applies to this draft and the idea that receivers are starting to really earn, kind of making money like pass rushers, if you will.
Well, I think there's two realities. First of all, there are plenty of great receivers that are available every year now. It's becoming something like the running back position where you can find and develop young talent. There are so many 7-on-7 camps, so many quarterbacks throwing balls at an early age to develop their arms. Someone is catching those passes, and we've seen receivers get better, more productive, more quickly because of it. The challenge becomes when you have a great receiver. Look at what the Titans did a couple of years ago. They had A.J. Brown. Instead of paying him, trade him, draft a replacement, Treylon Burks. Well, he hasn't quite worked out. When the Vikings traded Stephon Diggs, drafted Justin Jefferson, that has worked out. So that's one side of it. The other side of it, too, the receiver position, I think, more than any others currently in the NFL, the high-end contracts have a lot of crap in them. They got a lot of bogus, phony baloney, back-end money that makes the deals seem bigger than they are. So, you know, $30 million per year, Tyreek Hill, no. It's not even close to that. Devontae Adams, $28 million per year, it's not even close to that. So that's part of it as well. Some of these big deals aren't as big as we think. $23, $24 million per year is kind of the action zone right now. And yeah, we've got Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Brandon Ayuk, CeeDee Lamb. Plenty of guys lined up. That's why it was smart for the Eagles to get ahead of it, get Devontae Smith done, because The one thing that we try to impress on teams all the time, it never gets cheaper if you wait. It only gets more expensive.
So in that context, what's going on in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson not being a participant in the voluntary portion of the Vikings offseason, which began on Monday?
Look, you know, the bottom line is the Vikings just need to pay this guy or trade him to someone who will. And when they didn't sign him to a long-term deal at the start of the 2023 regular season, I thought then, okay, Kirk Cousins, 1 year, he's gone. Next year, Justin Jefferson is used as a piece to allow the Vikings to move up and get their first true franchise quarterback since Fran Tarkenton. And until Jefferson signs, I'm going to believe that's a possibility. Now, we're 9 days away from round one of the draft. I think if they don't trade him by next Thursday, they're probably going to keep him for another year. But if you're going to keep him, pay him. Again, it's never going to get any cheaper. Why not get it done? Make him happy. Get him in the building for the offseason program. Have him around. Lay the foundation for a competitive season. Or dangle him to the Commanders at number two, the Patriots at number three, whatever you would have to package. If you are never going to pay him what he wants, send him to someone who will. The question is, will someone else give him what he's looking for? Because I have a feeling he's looking for more than anybody at that position's ever gotten. You could also argue he deserves it.
What's going on with the Chiefs at wide receiver, specifically the Rashee Rice thing? He's now being sued in court for, I don't know, $1 million and actual damage, but $10 million in punitive charges. He leased the two cars that were involved. Teddy Knox, who is a receiver, at SMU? He is also a guy that is in trouble with this thing. How do they approach that reality heading into the draft?
Well, the Rashee Rice situation creates liability, creates criminal charges, creates whatever punishment the NFL might eventually impose. I get the impression the Chiefs are looking for a way to hang on to Rashee Rice. I mean, if he was a guy at the bottom of the roster, he already would have been cut. We know how this goes. Examples are made of the scrubs. Excuses are made for the stars. And Andy Reid, the head coach of the Chiefs, said some things yesterday that gave me the impression they are going to try to keep this guy around and weather this storm. As to the lawsuit, yeah, there's a million, 10 million, whatever the number at the beginning of the lawsuit doesn't matter. All that matters is what the jury puts on the piece of paper when it's time to render a verdict. And there's clearly going to be a verdict rendered against Rashee Rice. He was driving a car recklessly. It's on camera. He caused a six-car pileup. Whatever the jury decides is fair compensation, that's what he's going to have to pay. The only question I have at this point is whether the street racing somehow puts him beyond the boundaries of his insurance policy and puts him at a position of being personally exposed. You'd have to study his policy. And I've been meaning to look at my own car policy to see if there's an exclusion in there. But we know how insurance companies work. They take your money in and then they build in plenty of exclusions and exceptions to avoid having to pay the money out. And it would seem to me reasonable for an insurance company to say, if you're out there acting like Speed Racer on a public highway and cause an accident, you're going to forfeit your coverage.
Mike, Bill Belichick was in town on Friday at the White Sox game, of all places, as a guest of Tony La Russa. On Saturday, he attended Northwestern's women's lacrosse practice or a game, I believe. He spoke to the team. Any idea what he's going to do this year? Is he going to write a book? Is he going to consult? Is he going to do whatever it is? I don't know, but there were a lot of people in town thinking, well, boy, while he's in Chicago, why didn't he stick around Halas Hall for a while?
Hey, there's a report that he's writing a book. I just wonder what the publication date would be, because it would be awkward if it comes out next year as he's coaching again, assuming he gets another head coaching job. In theory, he should, but there's a lot of factors that go into it, including the extent to which his presence would undermine people currently in positions of authority with a given team. I think one thing that teams should do now, and I mentioned this recently on PFT Live, they should be hiring him as a consultant to get his thoughts on what to do with the new kickoff. I would love to have the benefit of Bill Belichick's brain to help me come up with ways to receive and to kick with this new formation. And I know that that may be a threat to the current coaching staff wherever, but so what? I said the owner should just go ahead and do it on his own and not even tell the coaches where he got it from. Here's some ideas for you to consider as you're coming up with a strategy for dealing with a new kickoff formation. This is the perfect time for Belichick to be in the NFL, and he's not.
So true.
Okay, so we look at the draft. There's always somebody falling. There's always somebody that comes, you know, becomes overly popular. For every, you know, Jaden Daniels jump or J.J. McCarthy love, is it Drake May that's going down? How do you look at what's happening near the top of the draft right now, Mike?
Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and then it gets very murky after that. Where's J.J. McCarthy? Where's Bo Nix? Where's Michael Penix? Where's Drake May? And, you know, for all of college football season, it was Caleb Williams, Drake May, Caleb Williams, Drake May. Yeah. And what happens is the coaches, when their season's over, they get more actively involved in the scouting. That's what may cause a guy to start to slip a little bit. Draft experts chime in. I know Chris Sims has May at sixth, but you know what? In the top 13 selections, there's seven teams that you could look at and say they want / need quarterbacks. That's without anyone else trying to trade in from lower in the round. Seven of the top 13 could take a quarterback. There's only six that would potentially be first rounders. Are there going to be six guys gone in the top 13? Are there going to be six guys gone before the Vikings pick at number 11 if they don't move out of that spot? It's going to be crazy potentially next week, because you got a lot of teams that need quarterbacks and they seem to be willing to roll the dice on drafting a guy and hoping that the guy they get works out.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you for your time as always.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys. Great talking to you.
That is our guy, Mike Florio. Always fun to talk to Mike.
J.J. McCarthy is the, I think, pivotal player in the first round, in the top 10, right? Well, I think the draft begins when you figure out where he goes.
As long as he's one of the guys going after Caleb Williams and before number 9, that's all we're after.
Oh, well, definitely. I think, isn't that definite, don't you think?
I would hope so.
You know the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams. You're getting stronger suggestions that Jaden Daniels is going to be number 2.
Right.
And then just a matter of, do the Patriots favor J.J. McCarthy over Drake May, or does another team feel compelled enough to give up what it takes to get him? I don't know, but that to me, the J.J. McCarthy saga or the what happens to him on draft night could dictate the course of the first round.
All right, we're going to we got a special guest. We're going to bring in our colleague Danny Parkins. He, of course, the author. His book out today. We'll talk to Danny about his new book and about all the happenings in Chicago sports. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.